Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, under a great big full moon, I bid you good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may be across the entire world. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. This is going to be an interesting night. I've done the calculations. It's a Friday night, Saturday morning. We have had about two of the wildest weeks of stuff happening out there with the glyphs at Chibolton, and it's been incredible. All the animals. I've got more of that tonight, by the way. Going berserko. I've got a really serious earthquake forecast, and there's a full moon, and I've got open lines. And so it's going to be a dangerous night all the way around. We'll see what happens. Cover a little bit of news for you. In Tokyo, a tragedy, an explosion there, and fire have torn through a gambling parlor in bustling Tokyo, a nightclub district. It has killed at least 44 people in one of Japan's deadliest blazes in years. Some of the victims there are jumping from a third-story window to escape the fire. Three hospitalized. The first 47 hospitalized with injuries, but later said 44 were killed, and three remain injured and hospitalized. Brother. At Sacramento, a man suspected of killing six relatives, told investigators he eluded police for 10 days in part by hiding in an abandoned house. A Ukrainian immigrant told detectives he killed his pregnant wife, 3-year-old son, aunt, uncle, and 2 9-year-old cousins during the August 20 rampage because they were, quote, poisoning, end quote, him. In Santa Clara, California, a man killed a deputy and shot more than 150 rounds at federal agents trying to serve a search warrant today, then apparently died at his home as it burned to the ground. In Nigeria, thousands of people have been left homeless, at least 14 people dead after torrential rains washed away homes and caused two dams to break along a river in northern Nigeria. The weather again. At this Axard, another cycle of mass killings on us. Sacramento, slaughter of 5. Iowa, slaughter of 7. Another example of why the government should know what everyone is thinking and store those thoughts in a database so they can look for criminal intent on the part of the citizens. From my radon... by the way, here's an interesting story for you. When I first started doing what became this talk show in Las Vegas, oh, God, what is it, 15 years ago now? 14, 15 years ago. I had a headset microphone combination that I'm using right now. Now, last night you may have heard the show get disrupted about 30 minutes into it. Well, I had one brand new headset I was using. When I came out of the break, there was no audio. No audio. It's the worst thing that could happen to you in radio. And so I ran the commercial set and tried to come back with a second brand new headset. Again, no audio. So I told the network, roll a tape, you know, God, get something on the air. There's no audio coming from here. And I started checking it, everything. Finally, nobody could figure two brand new headset mics would fail, right? I mean, that's impossible, right? Wrong. That is exactly what occurred. And what did I finally grab? I grabbed the original headset microphone, which I'm using right now, I might add. The one that... that I began with 14 or 15 years ago, and it's still cooking, as you can now hear, while two of its newer cousins are on the way to headphone land. So this old sucker's still humming along. Hey, listen, I just took a couple of minutes ago a really cute photograph, I think, of Ramona and myself on the webcam. That's on my website at artbell.com. Go to program and then go to Art Bell Studio Cam, and you'll see it. I took it. Let's see. When did I take that? 10:01:05. So 1 minute after 10 o'clock, which was a few minutes ago. All right, as I usually say, I don't want to alarm anybody, but my radon earthquake detector, this is a fellow who I've been dealing with for almost that many years in California, who measures the radon level in his well, siding of the well, has reliably predicted earthquakes for a long time on this show. He reiterates today, in fact, he says, Art, the highest radon count I've ever seen just came in, and he predicts a large earthquake in Northern California within 9 days near Santa Cruz, San Francisco, and a 6.0 quake near the California-Mexican border. So, as I have always done for him over the years, with remarkable, even scary accuracy, I document your prediction. We'll see what happens. This last night's program, notwithstanding, I'm telling you folks, something's going wrong with the animals. I'm getting story after story. Just, this is tonight. Look, here's a newspaper headline. They sent me the newspaper. It's the Daily Herald. Headline, deer crashes through Des Moines Plains office window. Bright red blood stains the walls, the carpet and the furniture, shards of glass scattered all around the small office, one woman's gray skirt ripped as she ran for help. Such was the debris left behind by a 3-year-old white-tailed deer who both scared and amazed employees at Snelling Staffing Services in Des Plaines. Des Plaines it is, not Des Moines. Des Plaines, P-L-A-I-N-E-S. I never heard of that. Anyway, when she burst through a first-floor office window Wednesday morning by happy coincidence, the woman usually who would have been working right next to the window was home caring for a sick child. But the two-hour ordeal didn't end as happily for the beautiful but battered doe. Massive head injuries, internal bleeding, and on and on and on. Something's going on. Nearly 2 months after he was reported in New Delhi, the mysterious monkey man, have you been hearing about him, has resurfaced in India. He's been blamed for attacks on several people there. That's the eastern part of the country. One woman told India Star TV that a two-legged creature with a monkey's face attacked her late at night, leaving scratches on her neck and ear. At least 10 others also claimed to have been assaulted by the creature. This is more than a sighting than anything else, Art, but very unusual. A cougar was struck and killed by a motorist near Harlan, Iowa this week. Well, what's so unusual about that? Well, the last time a cougar was seen in Iowa was 1865. This is just tonight stuff. You know, I've got about at least a dozen other stories about animals doing totally bizarre, wrong things under a full moon. But, you know, recently, something's going on, I'm telling you. Chris writes, Art, the answer to your why are the animals acting weird and erratic these days is and can be found clearly in the Bible. Revelations contains one obscure verse that reads, quote, near the end days, animals will begin to lose their natural fear of man. So, pretty strange times. Well, hey, guess what? I haven't done this in fully at least a year, and so since it's a full moon, Friday, open lines, I am going to restrict one line, my first-time caller line, and I am going to, especially before the official Secrets Act or whatever in the hell they're working on back in Washington gets passed, I'm going to open an Area 51 and general government workers who want to tell all line. Okay? Those of you who have information regarding Area 51, inside information, meaning you have worked there or you have a best bud who's worked there and you know what's going on, or government workers, whistleblowers, people like that in general, who wish to tell their story, may do so by calling area code 775 727 1-888-379-1222. Now, normally I restrict that away, you know, for first-time callers. And maybe you'll be both, who knows. But that shall be our Area 51 government worker line throughout the night. So we're disabling that line for tonight only. That's 1-800. Whoops. Area code 775-727-1222. In a moment, I'll be right back. We're getting very close. Stay right where you are. Oh, yes. Tonight is the end of it, folks. Actually, this tonight will be the last time you will hear me read about this at all. And really, I didn't even get to it last night. So deadline is here. This is it. At the end of this weekend, it's over. This book special that I've been talking about, my publisher is making you a deal, and I'm signing books. I have 3 books in this special deal. It was the original one, The Art of Talk, which was my baby. You know, it's an autobiography, and it's a no-holds-barred autobiography, The Art of Talk, first book ever. The Quickening, which is underway right now, my worldview, if you will, on what's going on about the weather, the government, technology, the world economy, every aspect of life. It's called The Quickening. And then The Source, which I co-authored with Brad Steiger. And here's the deal. I am autographing them, and this is the end of it. When I'm done, I'm done. And this really may be the end of it. It certainly is the last ad I'm going to do this year, and maybe ever. So, last autograph offer ever. You can get all 3 books for $59.95 plus $7 shipping and handling, or you can order them autographed individually. And when this weekend ends, it's over. Now, of course, a story like this has to come to us from London, England. The Associated Press, Dateline London, though. The view from space of a bright blue Earth is becoming marred by smoke and dust as environmental destruction grows increasingly visible, according to, brace yourself, the commander of the International Space Station. U.S. astronaut Frank Culbertson told the British Broadcasting Corporation, get that, BBC, that the view had changed markedly since his first space mission in 1990. Quote, there is smoke and dust in wider spread areas than we've ever seen before, particularly as areas like Africa dry up in certain regions, Culbertson told the BBC. I've seen changes in what comes out of some of the rivers in land usage, he said. We see areas of the world that are being burned to clear land, so we're losing a lot of trees. Now, this is an astronaut looking down on us right now who's speaking. Speaking from the space station, that's our brand new one up there, Culbertson said the changes were, quote, a cause for concern. We have to be very careful how we treat the Earth we live on, he said. Culbertson said he was also struck by the number of lights glowing on Earth at night. It's quite amazing to see how many people live down there and how much of an effect they're having on the environment and the land we live in, said Culbertson, who piloted the space shuttle mission in 1990 and 1993. Culbertson is the commander of the third crew to reside in the International Space Station, a collaboration between American, European, and Japanese interests. The space shuttle Discovery launched August 10th to take Culbertson and 2 Russian cosmonauts to the station. So there you have the world view of somebody who is up there looking down on us right now, and you can imagine that the commander of the space station, the new one, would very likely be circumspect, you would expect, in remarking in any way on the state of the world from 10 years ago till now. You would think he'd be very circumspect about making such a comment, but he not only made such a comment, he made several very, very strong comments about the changes in just 10 years, warning us about the environment. For the commander of our International Space Station to make such a series of remarks is in itself absolutely incredible. I mean, you think about it a little bit. It's absolutely incredible. And so I attach a great deal more importance to them and seriousness than I think a casual read of this article otherwise would normally engender in terms of my the way I'm taking this. Anyway, to the lines we go. I said open lines, and that's what we're going to do. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Turn your radio off, please.
Art Bell, I presume. How are you?
I am just spiffy, thank you.
I have tried so long to get on. It's amazing. I'm so glad we were thinking along the same lines of Area 51. Years ago, 1997, I was so sick and told I would never get any better than I am. I started to listen to you. I laughed myself well again.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. You were there.
I provide that much humor?
Oh, it was wonderful, that wild man with the time machine.
Oh, yes.
The guy that called and said, take marijuana away, that's like apple pie and cheese.
You remember a lot, yes.
Oh, it was wonderful. So many things, and I'm so grateful you're there. And I hope you stay there forever.
Very kind. Do you have anything you wish to disperse to the zillions tonight?
Ah, gee. Happy birthday whenever it comes, and be glad you're alive, and hug everybody around you.
All right.
And listen to Aunt Bell.
All right, then let me add for you one more thing. Have a nice day.
Ah, you too.
All right, see you later. We got it all in there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art Bell, hi.
Hi.
Man, a long time.
Yes, sir.
I've just been absolutely astounded by these glyphs.
Look, it doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't get any better. Everybody I've talked to, just about, has said these glyphs could not have been made on the ground. Period. Couldn't have been made on the ground. Last night's guest, Colm Kelleher, or was that was the night before. Same thing. Could not have been made on the ground. I mean, a lot of really good people have looked into it. Too complex, simply impossible. Maybe from the air, but that would mean our government's doing it, because I don't think Frank in a Cessna has the ability to do that, do you?
No.
So it'd have to be a government level. So either way, you got to figure it's a great big story. Either our government is trying to set us up and make us think aliens are a-coming, or aliens are a-coming.
And if they are trying to set you guys up, it should be absolutely shameless.
You can't set me up.
Well,
it's impossible to set me up, because all I do is follow stories. If it turns out to be a hoax, then we'll be telling you right here it's a hoax. But as of tonight, it isn't yet.
Who could be so heartless to do this?
Oh, there's a lot of people could be that heartless. Believe me, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's just got to be, in my opinion, I think it's somebody from the future.
I mean, here we've got people murdering each other in droves, animals going nuts, and so people are going nuts, too. So, sure, there'd be somebody definitely heartless enough to do it, but
you know what?
I don't think any human did it, sir. Yes.
You know, you never do any movies. I never hear you critique any movies. Have you ever seen Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
As a matter of fact, I have.
One of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
I got to run, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001. listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
Good morning. Can you feel the influence of the full moon? It sort of bears down on you. There's a physical difference that occurs when we have a full moon, and that difference is apparent right now. Stand right where you are. It's going to be a full night. Here is an actual fax that I received warning me. It says, Mr. Bell, they are coming for you and your callers. The Official Secrets Act may become a reality by next week, according to the Washington Times article, The Big Chill, that's what it's called. He goes on, if this becomes law, Area 51 lines, government secrets lines, and so forth will only be in dreamland. Maybe they'll get you for publicizing remote viewing. Well, now, on the one hand, I don't believe this. I don't believe they'll get me, but they might. They might. I don't know if I'm included in this or not, to be honest with you. So I thought, well, what the hell, be on the safe side, and we'll open up the Area 51 government worker line tonight, you know, before next week. Probably doesn't pertain to me. Or does it mean the suits will be here again? On my Area 51 government worker line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Where, pray tell, well, if you want to tell us.
I'd rather not. I was just wondering how secure this line is. The information I give, there's no caller ID, right?
Oh, no. No, I don't have caller ID.
Okay.
I don't even want it.
I was once an electrical technician on Nellis Air Force Base. I was on the base proper. We had approximately 100 structures there. They sat stored nuclear weapons, 50 with the nukes and 50 with the collars.
Oh, listen, I believe that. What do you mean collars?
That's the collar that goes around the nuclear weapon that causes it to explode. Well, we had a lot of problems with lights, strange lights, strange noises. I was an electrical tech, and I never got to go out there at night except for one time. He was a scientist. I really can't give any names, but we went out, and there was a standard glow that he said he saw around certain structures. And I said, well, what is that?
Wait. Do you mean buildings? You mean the buildings out there around buildings that were near Nellis?
It's on the base.
On the base, on Nellis.
It's on the base.
So you're talking about a glow around buildings there, right?
These were the concrete structures. There's 100 of them. It covers approximately a mile square.
And that's where the big babies are housed?
That's where they're at.
And there would be a glow around them.
Different individuals at different times. And I said, well, I never got to see these glows. And he says that they would bring us out at night, wake me up and bring me out. That's what he told me. And I said, well, what was the problem? Because I was in the electrical field. I said, what was it?
Right.
And he says, you know, it's the spacemen. And I said, what do you mean? He says, Blue Book Project. I said, well, that's been closed since, 73 or so.
This was not an officer. Was it an officer?
No, he was a civilian. There was about 20 techs, and he was one of the civilians.
And he wasn't kidding?
No, not at all.
He wasn't laughing. He wasn't snickering.
He says, no, he said, didn't you know about it? And I said, no, all I do is check circuits and run for voltage and amperage. And he says, well, this is the real deal, and
As you well know, sir, Nellis is support for Area 51 here.
No, well, I'm really not up on this UFO thing. As a matter of fact, this is only the second time I've ever heard you on the radio, and I just thought, well, that'd be interesting for your viewers, or maybe somebody has some connections out at Nellis could find out a little bit more about it.
Glowing buildings, great. All right, sir, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Got you.
Take care. That had the sound of reality to it, didn't it? Okay. All right, so Area 51 workers and government workers wishing to blow some sort of big whistle at area code 775-727-1222. If that's not you, call one of the other lines. Don't call that line. We're going to hold that line open just for people in that man's kind of category. My. Glowing buildings. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, I'd like to thank Art for asking the tough questions in that FBI interview with Candace DeLong.
You're very welcome. This is Art, sir.
Oh, I'm on the air. Okay.
Yeah, that's how we're. I don't have call screeners, so you just like,
oh,
go on the
okay,
air.
Great. Listen, I really want to thank you, Art, for that interview and asking Candace some tough questions there. I don't know if you've had these folks on as guests, but did you ever have Dan Gifford, the retired journalist who did the Rules of Engagement documentary?
Oh, in Waco. I don't think so. I had somebody on about that long ago, but it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dan Gifford used to work for the New York Times. He was a professional journalist, and then he spent $1.5 million of his own money doing this documentary, and he was nominated for an Academy Award. Siskel and Ebert reviewed it. And
yeah, I was very much aware of that. Oh, sure.
Yeah, and then his executive producer did a follow-on, which is his name is Mike McNulty. It's called Rules of Engagement, A New Revelation. And I believe if people do a search on the Internet, they can find those. And there's David T. Hardy was a lawyer. But anyway, the disturbing thing about the FBI is the evidence. In Dan Gifford's movie, he interviews the sheriff there at Waco, and he also interviewed the coroner there, and the records were taken from the coroner, and they were promised to be returned, and they were never returned.
Look, there's so many things wrong, sir. We could spend a million years. What happened there wasn't the America I know, and it wasn't the America you knew.
Absolutely.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. That's all there is to it. I think everybody knows it didn't have to end that way. It was really bad news on everybody's part. Really bad news. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay. That's good. I know you get a lot of mail. Probably, thousands a week. I sent some copies of some pictures that a friend of mine took up in Pennsylvania.
Pictures of what?
That's a good question.
Well,
it is some sort of an entity or something disappearing into a wall. Actually, a mural that's on the wall.
Disappearing into a mural?
Yeah, he sort of walked in on this thing.
Now, listen, that kind of photograph, I guarantee you I would remember. I don't think I've... When did you send this?
It's probably been about a couple of months now.
Something happened. I would have... number one, I guarantee you that one would have jumped out at me, and I would have scanned it, because I've got a scanner here, and I put it up on the website right away, so...
Well, I did send just color copies of it, because I wanted to make sure if I sent the photographs that...
Never, ever send the originals.
Well, it's all I've got, and I'll be happy to send them to you, really.
Do not send me the originals. Not unless we make special provision. Don't do that.
Well, that would be fine, too. I mean...
I don't trust my mail.
Okay.
I don't trust my email, and you shouldn't either. You perhaps would have less cause, but now that you've gone on the radio and said this, you've got plenty of cause. All right, please resend them, all right?
Okay.
Copies.
Copies.
Yes.
I mean, they're the clearest thing I've ever seen. It's, you can distinctly see, like, probably about 3 or 4 different faces in this thing. It's like a dragon. If you look at it one way, it's kind of like a skull. It was taken by a friend of mine up in Pennsylvania. It was a house where, I guess, the man that had owned it, or the family, the owner was, it was back with Prohibition, and he was...
That makes it even more valuable. So all I can say is get me the photograph, and I promise you, if it's what you say it is, it will be instantly on the website. But I'm smart enough not to trust my mail, and I'm smart enough not to trust my email nor my telephones. I just assume everything is looked at, and you should assume the same thing. They have the ability to keep tabs on us, period. They can process and profile faces, hundreds, even thousands at a time, coming into something like the Super Bowl. They can monitor email. They can monitor phone calls. I'm not saying they are in every case, but in my case, well, you tell me. If you were a government guy sort of monitoring what's going on out there, would you check out what I get? I'll leave it at that. west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Matt from Albury, California.
Hello, Matt.
I have a Bermuda Triangle story for you.
Okay.
It comes from a cousin of mine, who shall go nameless. She's a U.S. Navy fighter pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And her squadron commander told her that in the early 80s, he was on a carrier headed out from Norfolk, Virginia,
right,
to the 6th Fleet in the Med.
Right.
And the Russians would send Tu-95 bear bombers from Murmansk on the Kola Peninsula down past Greenland and Iceland out into the Atlantic to look for the carrier,
yep,
and then go on to Cuba.
Sure.
Well, her CO was then a JG lieutenant, took off to intercept the bear with his CO.
Right.
And they formed up on the bear. You know, they'd be taking pictures. They'd be talking to the Russians on the International Guard channel.
Right.
And her and the senior pilot said, "Say, Ivan, do you guys know you're headed through the Bermuda Triangle on your way to Havana?" And everybody laughed except for one Russian who said, "The Bermuda Triangle is nothing but a tool that capitalists use to frighten the masses." And everybody laughed, and there were even people on the carrier listening who were laughing.
Yes.
But the CO said, "Well, Ivan, if that's the way you put it, but if you go down there and you encounter something, don't say it didn't warn you." But they said, "We'll see you later, next time." And they tracked the bear off radar, and then they came back to the carrier.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, they got a message from Atlantic Fleet in Norfolk asking for the last known position of the bear, its course.
Had to be. Went down, right?
The bear never arrived in Cuba,
and
the Russian naval attaché had gone to the Pentagon asking for help.
And so all you need to tell us now is who had the last laugh.
Whoever's in the triangle.
Yes, that's right.
And one other thing. You mentioned a while back you were curious about UFOs going into the water, out of the water, and under the water.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, there's a book. It is long out of print, so you have to go to a used bookstore. But it's called Invisible Residents by the late Ivan T. Sanderson, who was a marine biologist, but in World War II was in naval intelligence. And he wrote a very, the book was printed in 1972, I believe.
Well, look here. If UFOs are coming and going, two-thirds of the mass of the Earth is covered by water.
If something can fly in deep space, it can fly in the water.
It can fly in deep water, yeah.
They do attract attention.
I
can mention depth charges.
I hear you. Thank you very much. Yeah, he's right. Sure. I've always been fascinated with the concept that they must go in and out of the water, or at least certainly it would make sense they would, wouldn't it? In fact, really, what better hiding place when you think about it? And I firmly believe there's every possibility that one day we will find an alien spacecraft either at the bottom of an ocean, or even more likely, perhaps, locked in the ice at the Antarctic. Going back as far as, say, 400 million years, some of that ice is real old, you know. And it would do a hell of a job of preserving anything that might have fallen back then. So that's why I'm always very interested in what's going on at the Antarctic. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Dan in Idaho Falls.
Hi, Dan.
The animals and the people killing people.
Yes,
that's related.
That's because we are animals.
Yeah, well, it's called Rapture of the Christians.
Oh, you think so? Then are the cats and the dogs and the bears and the deer also about to get raptured?
They have brains just the same as us.
And souls?
I don't know about souls.
Well, I thought only the soulful got raptured.
But anyhow.
Now, neutrinos. All right, well, listen, I appreciate the thought, but according to strict religious folk, animals don't have souls. I'm not so strict. I think they do. I believe as much in animals having souls as I do in people having souls. How's that for a shocker? I have four cats now. We have four cats now, you know. And they are as individual in temperament and personality and emotion. Emotion, that's right, emotion. As a lot of people I know. And maybe a little more so than some. So I believe they have souls. I have always believed that. Shocking? You think that's shocking? So I think, plus I think that a higher percentage of soulful animals will rise when the rapture comes, when and if it comes, as human beings. In fact, it might even be 3-1. Who knows? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. Last night when you were talking about cloning the slaves and slave cloning.
That's right.
I think that's a real bad idea. I've read a lot about Edgar Cayce, and he says that that's part of what the problem was in Atlantis.
Well, all right, let me ask you. You're in a truck, right?
Yes, sir. I'm a truck driver.
You're a truck driver, right. So if they could create a clone that would be just smart enough never to get a ticket, never to have an overweight truck, always to keep the logbook scrupulously examinable, let me put it that way. In other words, to give you a break while you could safely sleep in the back and be spelled by this wonderful, wonderful clone that would do this for you, you wouldn't want it, huh?
Well, I'm not saying I wouldn't want it, but the clone would have a soul, as you were just talking about.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know about that.
That would be interfering with their free will to make them a slave.
I'm not positive that a clone would have a soul.
I think it would. I mean, if it has a life, then it has to have a soul. There's some form of consciousness within the being that gives it life. Otherwise, it'd just be a zombie.
But you still might want one.
No, not really. I drive with my husband. It gets crowded in here. We had three people.
Three's a crowd, right?
Yes, sir. But anyway, Edgar Cayce was saying that that's part of what caused the problem in Atlantis and brought about their downfall. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but the Sons of the Law of One believe that these mixtures that were kind of like centaurs and mermaids and, you know, were the...
Yes.
Anyway, that they had a human soul. And that the Sons of Belial, or the Sons of Satan, wanted to keep these as a slave. And that the dissension and, fighting amongst themselves was part of what brought down the cataclysm.
Well, it might be that indeed. Thank you very much. Might have been that brought them down, but I didn't think they had that technology. Boy, I can't wait for this story off Cuba. A sunken city 2,200 feet below sea level. I got a very insightful fact yesterday, I think it was. Somebody just simply wrote to me, as we know, even the last ice age would not have accounted for anything below, say, 300 feet. So how could a city possibly be 2,200 feet down in the Atlantic, and yet it is apparently there? And this faxer offered an interesting suggestion, simply said, what if it's always been there? Why do we always assume that life forms, intelligent life forms, would only be up here? We know in volcanic venting there's all kinds of life. So has it ever occurred to anybody out there that life could have evolved at very deep, very, very deep levels of the sea? Perhaps even intelligent life, perhaps even life that would have built something? Too far out for you? Not necessarily for me. I thought, when I read it, I thought, you know, that's as good a theory as I've heard. It's every bit as good as anybody else's attempt to explain how any city could get from sea level at one point to 2,200 feet below sea level. That just doesn't work. Science is unable to explain that. So that's one interesting alternative, you know, that it's always been there. I'm Art Bell. After all, where'd the whole thing about mermaids come from?
I'm in a sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long.
Open lines all night long.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
Wondering where it all went wrong for so long. So long.
Frontier Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired August 31st, 2001.
Let us lay heavily on the international line tonight, since we're in open lines internationally all around the world. You can go to my website, and you can get a code that you dial in front of the 800 number that I'm about to give you. It's a toll-free call. I don't care where you are. Toll-free from Great Britain, from Asia, from South America, from all over the world. Or you just get hold of the AT&T operator, as Ross said, and have her call 800-893-0903. This will be in all open lines all night. 800-893-0903 worldwide, toll-free. Pretty good of the network, huh? Hey, I've got some information on a new on a secret movie that's going on right now. The Disney Company is apparently in production with a movie starring Mel Gibson called Signs, about crop circles that begin to appear on a family farm in Pennsylvania. Now, there's a website up for Signs, and it's my understanding they have a link back to my website. It's simply going to be called Signs, and again, it stars Mel Gibson, subject crop circles. That's going to be a monster movie, and I wonder if, well, I wonder a lot of things, actually. You look at what the media is doing, and it's, you've got to admit, it's pretty interesting. Here we have a full-fledged motion picture about crop circles coming up. It's got to make you wonder just a little bit. Back into that night we go. Open lines all night long. One restriction, I'm tying one line up for Area 51 callers and government workers who wish to blow the whistle. The number is area code 775-727-1222. If you have anything else at all, call any other line, because that's all I'm taking on this line. And on that line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Where, pray, well, you don't have to tell us. Do you want to tell us where you are?
West Virginia.
Okay. What is your, the name you would like to give us?
Remo.
Reno?
Remo, R-E-M-O.
R-E-M-O, Remo, okay, Remo.
Remo.
All right.
As I said before, my brother, 7 years older than I, was Air Force security. He spent several years at Nellis, did 2 years in Vietnam, and came back and was reassigned to Nellis. And he was one of the guys that rode around in the white Jeeps that you see on TV in Area 51.
Really?
Yes. He doesn't talk much about it, but I've been able to get him to tell me a few things that he has seen out there.
Like what?
For instance, a doorway. He said it very much resembles what you use now when you go through airport security.
Is this a doorway in a building?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's a very large building, underground.
Underground?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm sure most of your listeners and you, Mr. Bell, I'm positive, have been through the portal that you have to pass through for airport security.
Of course. Too many times, thank you.
Very similar to that.
Uh-huh.
However, when you step through this portal, when you step out, the what he has expressed to me and what he has told me he's seen, you step out approximately 100 yards away.
Wait. You mean without walking the 100 yards?
You go
through a door and you have moved physically 100 yards?
Yes, there's an identical doorway 100 yards away.
Oh, really?
And when you step through the first doorway, you step out of the second one without ever actually having traversed the distance between.
Now, let us think. What might that mean? Let's see. What might that mean? If that might mean that you are moving into a different time space of some sort. You passed through some sort of
portal.
Some sort of portal, yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. Anything else?
He told me that he did not see any evidence of alien presence there.
Well,
but that may have been withheld from him.
Sure, I'm not surprised. But that's a lot for him to have seen and to talk about. Do you believe your brother?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I do.
I appreciate the call, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. That really is interesting. Now, obviously, or possibly, the man may not have had clearance to see anything more. You can certainly imagine that if he's security level. However, if he really did observe something that moved one as you go through one door, as in a portal, that's really interesting, because could it be true that what's on the other side of that door or portal has to be in that particular time space to be kept where it is, underground at Area 51? That's interesting. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh my God, I can't believe I got through.
Well, believe it, you have. Where are you?
Upstate New York.
Okay, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I was wondering, well, I had a couple things, but I was wondering if there was any way that you knew of that you could, like, increase your odds of being abducted by aliens.
Well, there probably are, but, you know, first of all, how old are you?
14.
14. Why would you want to be abducted by aliens? I mean, haven't you heard the stories of what happens to some people who are abducted?
Well, yeah, but...
Long, I mean, needle tables where they strap you down. Have you heard about
down.
That? Have you heard about the tables?
No.
No, they strap you on tables sometimes.
So?
Have you ever seen a needle about 8 or 9 inches long?
No.
They probe you with those kind of needles.
Oh. My life is boring, and I'd have like a tail to tell.
You don't really want to be abducted.
Yes, I do. Well, what if I got abducted by friendly aliens?
I know, but isn't that a little like rolling the dice?
I don't care.
Are things that bad at home?
Yeah.
Well, listen. I'd reconsider if I were you.
Why?
Well, because you could be a lump of clay. You could be, you know, who knows what might happen to you. I really think that you should, before you even ask such a question, you should think much harder.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right, go away and think about it.
Okay.
All right, see you. You don't want to be abducted by aliens. You're too young. Your parents would worry. Besides, those things I said are true. A lot of abductees talk about all kinds of things you really wouldn't want to happen, believe me. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Arv, you probably scared that poor girl half to death.
I hope so. She does. She shouldn't want to be abducted by aliens.
Well, God knows, I definitely do not want to be abducted by aliens. I got a couple quick questions for you. Last night's show was fantastic, especially the news about the historic astronaut.
From Dr. Greer. Yes.
Fantastic.
If I were to guess, you know, I'd guess Armstrong. Nobody can fault me for guessing. I bet it was Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, that was my first guess, too. My question about it was, did he or do you know of any sort of timeline as far as when this might be revealed in regards to last night's guest and also in regards to when these glyphs that were over in England might be explained a little deeper?
Well, one at a time. No, as far as the astronaut speaking timeline, I have no idea. I did ask, and the answer was, never, unless the astronaut decides to speak of the matter. And that was Dr. Greer. That's what he said. That's where we had our microphone trouble, pretty odd, right at the bottom of the hour, and then we picked it up again live just before the top of the hour, if you heard that interruption. So that's the answer to your first question. Now, I don't know about your second. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
This is Mitch.
Hello, Mitch. Where are you?
Ventura.
Ventura, California, okay.
The Magic Christian.
Yeah, actually, you're down near the area where my radon earthquake detector guy is. That's about where they measure the radon.
Yeah, you gave that information here a few weeks back, and I was kind of surprised that he was able to tell that there would be an earthquake above Reno.
My dear friend, he has been doing this for at least 14 years with me.
Well, I know magma under the earth probably travels great distances, so it's not beyond the realm of possibility. But I was
No. Radon is a naturally emitted radiation from the earth, and to be down in a well casing monitoring that is, I think, at least as good a predictor of earthquakes as I know of, bat and animals' behavior and all and so forth.
Well, that's about 600 or 700 miles, so I was just kind of wondering. Anyway. Art, I was going to ask you, last night you were blown off the air the second half hour that you were on with
yeah, that's right.
Dr. Greer. And I don't know if you asked him during the time that you thought you were on and you were off, but did the subject of the personnel below the Department of Defense secretary, who were in essence disregarding orders, were they military personnel could be brought up on charges of insubordination?
In some cases, that would be true, yes.
Oh, so there were people in direct chain of command.
Oh, yeah.
See, that was never brought up on the show last night.
Well, you know, look, all the way across the board, whether it be civilian or military, the good doctor is saying, your signed papers and your oaths don't mean anything. The Constitution means more.
Well, I was wondering if, you know, they were talking about civilian subcontractors.
Both.
Or if they were talking about military uniformed personnel who were disregarding orders.
Both.
Because that was never made clear during your show.
Both.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, both. And that's the case he's making, that... And no matter who it is, military or civilian, any oath taken is invalid, in his opinion, because it's simply unconstitutional. It's operating outside the U.S. constitutional limits. I mean, there are civilian heads of our government that don't even know what the hell's going on, and that certainly is a breach of the Constitution, if that is true. And so based on that, the doctor is saying those oaths are without value. First time caller line. No, make that our government worker area 51 line. You're on the air. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, Art. This is Scott in San Jose. I'm listening to you on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just allow me two short digressions. First, was your first syndicator the Business Radio Network, or were you actually on a few stations even before that?
Oh, before that, sir. We began as a totally private concern, one radio station, then two, then three, and so forth. And then we went through a few different owners, and finally, now, of course, owned by Premier, but we began at ground zero.
Okay, I've been listening to you since, I've been listening to you since about June of 86, and I think you were just on KDWN at that point.
That may be about... Right, I think, yes. There are very, very few radio programs like this one. Most radio programs, most all network radio programs are launched by a network in the first place. You know, as Rush, when he jumped into syndication, Dr. Laura, and I could go through just almost all of them, they're launched by networks. They may be picked up from one single station, but they're launched by networks. We created a network.
Exactly. Yeah, I tell you, I have a copy of The Art of Talk, signed copy, from when it first came out, and I guess you're having an offer on that this weekend. And
yeah, this is the end of the line on that, too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the one thing I picked up from that book is the reason you're so successful is that you talk about the stuff that you're interested in, but you make sure that it's always interesting for the audience.
I try to.
Yeah. Okay, and then on my question, I'm a high-ranking official in the Libertarian Party.
Oh.
I'm just curious, is there anything that we can do to rekindle your interest in the Libertarian Party?
My interest in the Libertarian Party has not waned.
Ah.
Where did you get that impression? I'm a Libertarian through and through.
I guess we don't have any paranormal stuff right now, but we'll try to think of something.
All right, thanks.
Have fun.
No, politically, I'm a Libertarian, no question about it. And generally, my view is that as long as what you're doing does not affect me, as long as what you're doing in the privacy of your own home is within at least, you see, I say a few reasonable bounds. There are some things that I don't agree with the Libertarian Party on, very few. Generally, I feel what you do is your own damn business and nobody else's in the privacy of your home. Now, obviously, when what you do affects others, then I don't take that position. But when what you do affects only you and you're making your own life decisions, then by God, you know, it's nobody's business, in my opinion. Is it not the government's, not the the police, not anybody's business, just yours. When you do something that negatively affects somebody else, then, of course, it's a whole different matter. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, pleasant good morning to you from Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, I got a couple of targets for you to chase down with your new hardened optical Voyager telescope.
Let's hear about it. I'm not real good at knowing where I'm pointing yet, but I'm getting better.
Oh, the first one's going to be easy.
Okay.
On September the 10th, the moon is going to occult or pass in front of Saturn.
I heard about this, yes.
Okay. Las Vegas time is going to be at 5:01 a.m.
Excellent time for
me. That's when it's going to disappear. It'll reappear on the other side at 6:23.
Oh, that's a perfect time for me.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be a little earlier here in Oklahoma. But that's going to be easy. And if you've never seen anything like that, this is going to knock your eyes out.
Telescopes are really cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, Hardin Optical donated one to my astronomy club for our big star party we have.
Did they really?
Oh, really? I sent you some mail on it, some snail mail, so you'll probably get it. You'll see it.
That was really nice of them.
Oh, it was. It was. That was real nice of them to do that for
us. Okay, that's one target.
Okay, the second target, you get off work tonight, drag that 6-inch out, chase down a little comet. It was discovered back in August.
Oh?
And it should be, according to the maps, they're claiming on the 1st of September, which I'm hoping that'll be. Usually they set those for the morning, the night of, the day before, and the morning of, right below Jupiter. Now, the moon's not quite full, won't be full till Sunday night, but it's blocking. This is a real dim thing, real small, and it should be directly below Jupiter.
Yeah, there's a lot of moonlight out there right
now. There is. You know, like I say, it won't be full till Sunday night, but there's enough to wipe a lot of stuff out. It's very, very dim. It's only about 10th magnitude, which is, that's within range of that 6-inch.
Oh, sure.
But with a full moon, I don't know.
All right, sir. I appreciate the call. Thank you. He's right. You know, even looking at the moon itself, when the moon is full, it's not really the best time to look at it. It's actually too bright. The detail relief you get is not as good. You're better looking with a telescope at the moon when it's like a half moon, something like that, or even less. And it's just, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely spectacular. On my Area 51 government worker type line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
This is Raven.
Raven, okay. Where are you calling? Well, you probably don't want to say.
No, I don't.
And Raven is a sort of a just a nickname, right?
No, it's a code name. I was name,
of course.
I was on Area 51 in 1958 when from the inception.
From the beginning of Area 51, you worked there?
That's right. I was aide-de-camp to a general that I won't name.
All right. How long in total did you spend at Area 51?
Probably about 6 years.
Did you see anything that we all hear the rumors about up there?
Well, I'll tell you, we poured a lot of concrete. There is a lot of underneath stuff in there.
Can you afford to hold on through the break here, Raven?
Yes, I can.
You can. I would have imagined a lot of concrete underground. Raven, an Area 51 worker from 1958. Wow. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
I live among the creatures of the night. That would be me. Good morning, everybody. I've got an idea. You know, I've got this wonderful thing called Fast Blast, which means if you go up to my website, you can blast me off a message on the computer. And it just occurred to me that since I'm doing an Area 51 line, and it's hard for a lot of people to get through, if you go to Fast Blast, which is private, and you're an Area 51 worker, and you wish to give me your telephone number up on Fast Blast, I'll call you. If I think you're legit, I'll call you. So if you've got a computer, go up to go up there and Fast Blast me, and if I think you're a legit case, I'll call you and put you on the air. Because I know not everybody can get through, but Raven did. And here's Raven again. Raven, you're back on.
Yes.
So let us continue.
Okay. I was there. I was the aide de camp to the general that, you know, he was there when the first concrete was poured in the place. And I'll tell you that there's a lot of underground stuff.
Well, I've seen, you know, I've seen satellite photographs of what's above ground, the hangars and all that at Area 51. What percentage is above ground versus what's below ground?
I'd say it was 80% is below ground.
That's a lot of underground.
That is a lot of underground, and there was a lot of concrete poured.
All right. Well obviously.
I wasn't privy to a lot of stuff. But I do know that there's underground vaults there, and that and I'm not privy to any information that, you know, as far as what was stored in those vaults.
All right, but you do know there were underground vaults. All right, well, that makes sense. It makes sense. It would be a very great deal more below ground than above ground. And we're going to hear, I'm sure, from a lot of people like that who were workers in the construction of that base. Now, of course, the real thing that we want are people who actually had high-level clearances at the base. Now, how many of those are going to call? Who knows? But before the night is over, I'm sure we're going to find out. All right, let me go ahead and take my break right now, and then we'll get back to open line. Now, back once again to my Area 51 government worker line. You're on the air. Hello there. What name do you wish to give?
Let's go with Dark Eagle.
Dark Eagle.
Right.
Raven and now Dark Eagle. And you, what is your status, sir?
What is my status?
Yeah, in other words, do you work there? Have you worked there or what?
25 years.
Are you presently an employee of Area
51? Yes.
Oh. And you've been there for 25 years. My God.
We are working on back engineering of alien craft S-4 on Groom Lake.
S-4?
Right.
And do you want to say what kind of area you work in?
I just told you, S-4 at Groom Lake.
Okay, you actually work at S-4?
Yes.
And you're confirming they're back engineering alien craft?
That's what I do.
All right. Can you describe, what can you tell us about these craft? What can you tell us about?
Well, once we understand how they operate and we get this information directly from aliens.
From live aliens?
Yes. Who we have persuaded to tell us about their craft, which we have there.
How many people would you say work there?
In my area?
Yes, sir.
Four.
Four people?
In back engineering, yes.
In back engineering. And how successful have we been in back engineering?
Well, I think extremely.
So then would...
Most of the really advanced craft that we are now using in the military come from back engineering through Skunk Works and then... out to McDonnell Douglas and others.
So the technology flows out of Area 51 and S4 into industry.
Yes. Once we understand the principles, then we are getting the prototype out, and then the full production starts.
How are you able to make this call to me?
Well,
I mean, obviously, you can just pick up the telephone.
I would like someone beside me to know this, and you're the perfect conduit. As I say it, I've been listening to you for years.
Are you an active member of the military or a civilian?
No, I'm a civilian now, but retired military.
A man called a little while ago about a door that he saw.
A portal.
A portal, yes. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Very much like Stargate. Have you seen that?
Are you able to explain what's on the other side of this portal? In other words, it is
basically a time machine. And I know you're interested in that.
I certainly am.
Yeah, and you go through it, and you literally go into the future.
All right, well, for your sake, I'm not going to keep you on the line that long. Is there anything else?
Well, there's not any way they can trace this line.
It does sound different, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to get on before we terminate?
Well, I just want you to know aliens are real. They are in Area 51 all the time, and they work closely with us. They think that we are the only hope of any world peace. They are very, very hesitant to help us design weaponry.
Well, good for them.
Craft to go throughout the universe is one thing. Weaponry to destroy mankind on Earth, they are totally against.
Is that one of the reasons you made the call?
Yes.
I understand, and I thank you for your call, sir. Good night. Dark Eagle, huh? Well, I don't know. That part of it makes sense anyway, doesn't it? That they would have a great concern for any technology like that to be used for the wrong reasons. But technology is a neutral thing, pretty much. It can be used as you wield it, right? Good or bad. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Steve in Pasadena.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. You know, a couple of points here. At the top of the show, you mentioned the incident in Santa Clarita, California.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was an ATF operation. They burned the guy's house down after he started shooting at him.
Yeah.
Very reminiscent of Waco. So I think that's standard operating procedure with ATF.
An awful lot of rounds fired.
No, the guy got what he had coming, but it just seems like, you know, if you shoot at us, we're going to burn you out.
Well, as a general rule, it's not good to shoot at police.
Oh, I understand that, and I mean, if you survive the incident, you probably don't do all that well in prison either.
Yeah, when you shoot at police, they're definitely going to shoot back, and a bullet and fire are both lethal, and I suppose if it comes down to a lethal fight, whether you burn somebody out or you shoot them is incidental in that particular case anyway.
Yeah, if you're going after one individual, it's great. But, I mean, if you've got a compound of people, it's something else.
It certainly is.
Yeah, but second point is, you talk about all these wild animal attacks and all that. I'm just wondering, what do you think? You've got 4 feral cats in your house when you sleep.
Well, they're not. No, I don't have 4 feral cats. I have 1 really feral cat.
Yeah, but he's educating the other 3.
Thanks for the thought, sir, and good night. They do give each other looks from time to time. Got to make you wonder. But I do have 1 extremely feral cat. Extremely feral. I mean, he is as wild as they come. And he still is. He will never get near another human being. Myself, for the most part, my wife a little bit, but pretty much me, and anybody else would be in danger of lost skin on sight. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay.
It's number 1.
Okay, it's off?
It's good. Well, that's good. And your first name is?
My name is Vicky.
Vicky. Hi, Vicky.
Hi. Is this Art?
Yep.
Hi, Art. I just have a quick question. I'm calling from Washington State.
Right.
And I'm calling in regard to the UFO and the water scenario where you think that they go down into water?
Well, doesn't it make sense? I mean, if two-thirds of the mass of the Earth is water and they're coming and going, then occasionally they'd be coming and going from the water, I would think.
Absolutely. Would that... Is that just the ocean because of the depth, or would it be a lake, too?
I could imagine a lake as well. Why not?
Okay. Well, we live in a rural area south of Spokane.
Yes.
And for about a year now, we've been seeing real strange lights about 2 to 3 miles from our home.
Yes. And do they come and go into a lake?
Well, as soon as I heard that tonight, it reminded me of one particular night we were watching it, and we decided to try to locate it, try to follow it, and it is about 2 to 3 miles from our house.
Right.
And when we came to the spot where it was, it disappeared by then. It was right over a lake. And we were both wondering, my husband and I were both wondering where in the heck it went.
Well, come on, let's think about this. As the caller said, if you can travel in deep space, you can travel in deep water, point one. Point two, if you wanted to essentially disappear from sight, how better to do it than to dive into a lake, or even better yet, into a deep ocean? You're gone. Nobody's going to find you.
Exactly. It didn't even hit me until I heard your caller point that out.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
And
there have been a lot of sightings from military aircraft carriers and other sightings over the years that are absolutely spectacular of craft diving into or coming from the water. Yeah.
Well, what are they doing? I mean, this, it just seems to, when it comes and goes, and we haven't seen it now for a couple of months, but when it's there, it hovers in that same spot.
Yeah, and I have no clue. I'll tell you straight out, I don't have a clue. Who knows what they're doing here? Are they observing us? Are they doing environmental testing? Are they, you know, who knows?
Right.
Abducting? Who knows?
Well, it's kind of in a remote area, but it's pretty close to our airport, and I've seen aircraft fly by it, and it just sits there, and sometimes it'll get real bright.
Oh, no, I'm with you. Welcome to the club is all I can say as far as the sighting is concerned. Just in case you didn't hear it last night, the news broke that the sighting in Carteret, New Jersey, the big, massive sighting in Carteret that rivals what happened in Arizona. All of a sudden, the FAA is saying that they did, in fact, have objects on radar. Did you hear that? Colm Kelleher told us that, in fact, they did sight objects, unknown objects, on radar in the Carteret area. Ding, 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 ding. On my Area 51 government worker line, you're on the air.
Yes, Art?
Yes.
This is Mary in New Jersey.
Yes, Mary.
I wanted to call to tell you about a book entitled What the Animals Tell Me by Sonia Fitzpatrick.
Mary, I'm so sorry, dear. You're going to have to call another line because this is our special Area 51 line for tonight. So ring me up on any other line. We're holding that open for Area 51 workers and government workers wishing to blow the whistle. A wild card line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Okay, sir.
Yeah, this is Richard in Paso Robles.
Yes.
And
there we lost another cellular customer. Or, conversely, there a cellular phone company lost another bigger bill. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Adele.
Yes.
Hi, I'm calling from New York.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been abducted since I was a child.
Really?
Yeah.
How old are you now?
47.
47. What is your first name?
Ro. And I've had some pretty interesting...
Just pick a first name you like.
Rose.
Rose.
Yeah.
That's a nice name, Rose.
Okay.
And you've been abducted since you were how old?
My earliest experience was 11, and I was awake to the whole abduction.
In what manner were you removed from your house?
Well, at 11, I was, floated out my bedroom window right through the glass.
That's pretty typical, yes.
Yeah. And
When you got to the craft?
When I woke up in the craft, it was like I must have passed out from fright. But when I woke up in the craft, I saw the large, you know, the insect-like creature.
I don't like those.
Actually, I was terrified when I first saw him.
Sure.
And then he said, don't be afraid. You know, I'll show you who I am.
Did they say this out loud, or was it a telepathic?
Oh, no, it was all telepathic.
All right.
You know, the typical.
Yeah.
And then there was this, it looked like a solid aura around the being, and I felt this tremendous love, you know?
Yes.
But I'm not going to be, like, you know, gullible about all this stuff, because throughout my entire life, I've had, all types of strange, you know, things with the aliens and...
Well, now, what kind of insect did it look like? What would be the closest?
Well, they call it an insect, but it's actually the tall grays, about 5'6", you know.
Okay.
With the very large eyes and a...
All right, and because of time constraints, I'm going to have to rush you through this, but what did they do to you? I mean, what was the purpose of your abduction?
Well, they did the implant and then they showed me some things that were going to happen on the Earth and all this other stuff, you know.
Like what?
Well, it looked like something was going to hit the Earth. You know, I don't like to scare people or anything, but I think they just, I wonder if they, you know, I've done some reading, too, and I've heard that other people have had these type of things, and I think, I don't know if they're just trying to scare people or what's happening. But I also had this other experience over where recently, when you were talking about the Area 51 stuff.
Yes.
Well, I was taken down there at one point, and...
To Area 51?
Yes, yes.
As part of an abduction?
Yes, yes. And the thing that scared me was there were humans working with them. And one of the humans that I saw there, and I had called an investigator, I'm not going to mention names, because I saw the guy, I heard his name, but I never heard of the guy. But then I go on the internet, and I see this guy on the internet and his name.
You found this person on the internet?
Yes. And he was working with the Greys. And I saw his picture.
Why were you taken to Area 51? There must have been a reason.
Well, you know, the usual abduction. I mean, they abduct people on a regular basis. You know?
Well, I'm not sure what the usual abduction is. In other words, implant you mentioned. What else? I mean, what have they done?
Physical examinations, you know.
Have you borne children?
Yeah.
As a result of this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh. That's what you meant by the usual, I guess,
yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
So you were impregnated?
I don't know about the last time, because I'm getting pretty old for that, but...
At some point, I guess, huh?
Yeah, you know, 47. But I'll tell you, the stuff that's going on down there is just unbelievable. They had a white room, you know, and a lot of the stuff, I don't know if you've read any of the material out of the Matrix books.
No.
But I used to think it was, propaganda until... I had experienced it myself firsthand, and I went back to refer to the book, and they had mentioned the white room, and it was that's where I saw that guy, the one that was a
that you later identified on the internet. That's amazing.
Yes.
Are you going to pursue him?
No, I'm terrified. To tell you the truth.
And to the little girl who wanted to be abducted, what would you tell her?
I would say to her. I would give anything to have a boring life.
All right, a boring life. I hear you. All right, thank
you.
You
know what I'm saying?
Of course I do. Thank you. We're going to take a break here at the top of the hour. There's a gal who claims that she's been abducted all her life, so if that young one's listening, take it from her. Be careful what you wish for. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001. Come walk me. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
We're doing something special tonight. We're dedicating one line and one line only, exclusively, to Area 51 workers and government workers who are blowing the whistle. That number is area code 775-727-1222. That's 775-727-1222. But my brilliant idea is as follows. I've got FastBlast. That means you can go on a computer and go to my website and send me a message by computer. So, if you want to send me the number of a phone booth or a telephone that you think is secure and you are an Area 51 worker, then write me a little message on FastBlast, convince me, and put your phone number there, and I will call you. A new little twist, a way to get numbers that we didn't have before. All right, back into the night we go, and on my Area 51 line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. What shall we call you?
Sasha.
Sasha. That's a nice
name. Somewhere in America.
Sasha is somewhere in America. Okay. Sasha, have you had some experience with Area 51 or what?
I grew up going into Area 51.
You grew up going into it?
Yes.
Now, I didn't think they let children in.
Well, I was a remarkable child. I grew up under Tesla and Einstein. They both did their work on a southwestern ranch in the southwest in the desert. I grew up watching them do. So my first priority was to become a scientist. At age 10, I had a revelation.
How old are you now?
I'm getting old. I'm aging gracefully.
All right.
It changed my life, though, to the best. It changed my life to, tremendously.
But,
I love it.
But to have grown with Einstein and
I love it.
Tesla.
I love my life the way it was.
I see.
I don't like being retired, though.
You don't?
No, not at all.
But at your age, you should be retired.
Yes, I should be retired.
I mean, actually, in a lot of ways, you almost ought to be dead to come along with those people.
I almost was. Came back to the Southwest because I almost died of tuberculosis trying to be a truck driver across America. Well, that's not important. Let's talk about this particular ground that is actually America's jewel.
Area 51?
Area 51 is
America's
actually
jewel.
America's jewel.
It is.
So long as Outsiders don't know what the scientists are doing in there, or the remarkable people that have the high IQs and worked with the future. They are not, they don't want any contamination from outside abuse, like the general public saying, look, what are you doing? And you explain to them what you are doing, and they call you crazy, they call you a liar. And so the whole surmise is to keep things quiet and keep things rolling for the best of our nation.
What did you do at Area 51?
As I grew up, I did most of the paperwork for everyone that was entitled there.
So you were kind of a secretary in a way?
No. I was beyond that.
A super secretary.
No.
Well, I mean, but you did
I got involved with politics on the forefront.
All right. Well, listen, I've got to scoot. I appreciate the call. I can't, if you did paperwork, well, in administration, I guess, huh? But it seems to me that your age would have to be, well, let's put it this way, Sasha, you sounded pretty good. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Yeah, I just had two quick things. One, before your last vacation, I guess it's been a while now, a couple months, you teased us with the doctor, I'm drawing a blank, who makes people laugh, had the movie, Patch Adams.
Oh, Patch Adams, yes.
You were teasing about a second show with him, and then I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I've got to get hold of Patch and set it up. You're absolutely right. That fell through the
he's great.
The cracks.
I really like his ideals, whether or not they're very, idealistic or not.
People
would think like that.
They're very idealistic, sir. No question about that.
But at least, it's nice for somebody to have, good ideas.
Patch is a wild man.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to have him back on.
I think he's right on some things. The other thing I was going to say, as far as the recent crop formation stuff, I like to take everything with an open mind, but it's kind of like crying wolf. The fact that we've had so many people admit to doing these, it just makes it harder consider them real, like two or three times harder, when somebody's cried wolf. It's kind of like that.
Of course. I mean, you always have
that
to be...
That hurts the cause.
You always have to be suspicious of these things, but when you hear the experts saying that these things could not have been made on the ground, period, then what?
I realize it does seem difficult to accomplish. I don't know, but I'm just saying it no matter what...
Of course, I mean, you're right.
It makes it harder for me to consider.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that is dependent upon. That's dependent upon. That there be reasonable doubt. No matter how good the claim, no matter how many scientists come out and say it couldn't have been made on the ground, couldn't have been done. Everybody will always have a doubt because of the guys with the boards and chains who claim they could do this. I think it would be a wonderful idea to give some graduate students a copy of this particular glyph and simply take the best and brightest and let them try and reproduce that in the overnight hours. I'll bet you it wouldn't happen in a million years. I'd love to see that tried. I thought that was a wonderful suggestion. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Steve from Western Pennsylvania.
Yes, Steve.
Just wanted to comment real quick on a lady that called last hour about the UFOs that might come and go from lakes.
Yes.
I spent 5 years in Puerto Rico, and there was a lake down there where a man told me that he used to watch them come and go from there. So take it for what it's worth.
Puerto Rico has been famous for that, actually.
Oh, yeah. And I had a friend in the mid-80s who was an air traffic controller. He said that a Pan American flight in the afternoon saw a silver disc in front of its aircraft about 80 feet wide with lights on it, right in broad daylight.
Really?
Yeah. And he said the FAA called down and asked for the tape recordings of that incident, and
yes.
They never heard a thing about it.
Well, it always seems to happen that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay, I'll get off and let you get back to Area 51.
All right. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. We're not just doing that. We're doing a lot of things. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Open lines.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Great. Listen, since we're talking about abductions in Roswell tonight, I have a question about abductions.
Okay.
All the abduction stories that I've read, it's always been, I've been sleeping with my husband and then, the aliens come and take me. Do you know if the aliens ever abduct couples? At all.
Do
you recall any
how about Betty and Barney Hill?
Well, that's true.
right?
I forgot.
A very famous abduction. In fact,
Well, the reason I ask is I think maybe my husband and I were abducted. Either that or the government came and tagged us, but...
Tell me what happened. How old are you?
Oh, I'm 30.
30. What happened to you all?
Oh, well, last Friday, actually it was Saturday morning, we woke up, and I'm eating breakfast, and I look over at my husband, and he's got this huge bruise on his arm. I'm like, what the hell did you do to your arm?
Right.
And he said, I don't know, what'd you do to your arm? And we've got the same crescent-shaped bruise on our left forearm.
Really?
And for the life of me, I have no idea how it got there. You know, and it's not like we did anything, you know, I run into stuff all the time, but he's very graceful. And to have the exact same bruise in the exact same place.
Yes.
I mean, it's weird.
Do either one of you now have memories of what might have happened?
You know, I don't sleep very hard. And when I do sleep, I dream real vividly, and I don't remember anything. The one thing that was weird is when I woke up Saturday in the morning, all the shades were open. And I don't, you know, we keep the windows all closed because neither of us like light when we sleep.
Oh, my.
So all the shades were open, and the cats wouldn't come in the bedroom until, like, later that afternoon. And they usually, like, sleep on us, so...
You didn't happen to take a photograph of the bruise?
You know, I did, because they're, you know, they're very distinctive. I mean, they're almost a perfect crescent.
Send me a copy.
Oh, I'd be delighted to. Now, mine I can feel, mine's almost faded now, and I can feel a knot in mine, like there's something there. So I don't know if, you know, if that's just like a knot or if there is something there. He said he can't feel anything in his.
Any pinprick marks?
Not that I've noticed. Maybe I should have my husband check. I don't notice anything, though.
Wow.
Very strange.
And they were identical?
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally identical. Like the same size, about 3 inches long from point to point.
That's fascinating. Send me a copy of the photograph. I will get it on the website.
Okay, great.
All right.
Digital okay?
Digital is just perfect, dear.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. That may be an abduction. That's pretty weird, all right. Maybe you should go to somebody for a little hypnotic regression to find out exactly what did occur. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I heard you guys talking earlier about the earthquake that they're predicting in California or something.
Not they, but a man I call my radon earthquake predictor, who's been doing this now for well over a decade with me,
mm-hmm.
and he's inevitably been correct when he makes his predictions, eerily so, just really... So, anyway, yes?
Well, I was just wondering because I'm actually going out there for the next 9 days, and my husband was getting kind of freaked out about it, so I just wanted to know, how right he was.
Well, he's predicting he's been very right for a decade now. He's
really?
Predicting a real whomper for Northern California and something in the area of about 6 in Southern California.
Well, I'll be in Northern California.
Within 48 hours. 9 days on the first one, 48 hours on the second.
Wow. Okay.
Have a good trip.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
But it's just a prediction, you know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Dan. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida.
Yes, sir.
And is this Art Bell?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, you sound different on the phone. Well, anyway, my dad was a high-ranking military officer. And he was in a meeting with other officers, with John Lehrer and his father, Bill, of Learjet. And this was the first. He thought I was nuts because I'd been abducted. And they were discussing things in general, and then the conversation went around to UFOs. And it was at that point when... my father volunteered the information that I'd been aboard, or said I had. And another man there, I don't know if you're familiar with the event or not, but John F. Kennedy had a marriage that was annulled just before he married Jackie. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The man that married the woman whose marriage was annulled asked to be introduced to me. He was a friend of John Lear's. And
I know John very well. He's
Bill Lear.
Close,
yeah.
Personal
okay,
friend.
Well, you can verify this part.
I certainly can.
Yeah. And His name was Lynn.
No.
I'm not going to give you the last name.
All right.
This should ring a bell if you want to verify that.
All right, sir. I will indeed verify that. That's easy. John's good friend. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
It's going okay, sir. Where are you?
Los Angeles.
Okay. Extinguish your LA radio.
It's not on.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's just on a little bit. Sorry about that.
Right.
I can't get to it. It's way in the background.
Okay. Well, then rattle it off quickly.
All right. Yeah, just real quick. I was just thinking about the quickening. You know, it's amazing how the UN has taken away the water from these Klamath or something like that, farmers. Did you know about that?
Yes. I'm aware of the controversy going on up there now, yes.
That's just, it amazes me that what's really strange is that the media is not even covering it. And
well, the media in that area, regionally, it certainly is being covered. It's not getting a lot of national coverage yet, but I'm very aware of it.
Yeah, because I haven't hardly seen anything. It's on, like, the
big,
web with...
Big fight going on with the feds up there.
Yeah, and I don't know. It seems like, is that part of your whole quickening thing? Is that part of it? Is that... there's going to be a lot of cover-ups and people not, you know, saying anything about this type of stuff?
Right? Of course, yeah. Of course there's going to be a lot of that, and of course there is a lot of that. I think that what we're seeing going on with the animals right now, again, even with last night's program in mind, what we're seeing going on is part of the quickening with the animals. This is something serious. Something is going on. Something big is getting ready to happen. Perhaps not an all-encompassing event of some sort, but something big is getting ready to happen. Can't you feel it? The animals are misbehaving, and that usually is a good sign. Ask Jim Berkland about animal behavior. He'll tell you. As it relates to earthquakes. But I'm telling you, something big is cooking out there. Really big. And it's not, in my opinion, just man's encroachment on habitats. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
I can tell you what's going on at Area 51 in three letters, GNR, genetics, nanotechnology, and robotics.
How do you know that to be true?
I have a credible source on the Internet, and he sends it by an anonymous remailer?
No, wait a minute. You have a credible source on the Internet that comes to you through an anonymous remailer.
Yeah.
Do you realize how ludicrous a statement that is on the face of it?
Well,
a credible source on the Internet.
The stuff he writes, like he's talking about exoskeletal bodysuits where the man becomes the tank.
Yeah.
It's like a high-tech weapon-wielding super soldier. And these suits would allow a man of otherwise normal strength to lift a Cadillac over his head and punch holes through a brick wall. And he would have, like, shock absorbers.
He'd need them.
Yeah, like he could jump off of buildings and stuff like that. It's like...
Actually, I believe it was leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Yeah, it's like a comic book.
Yeah.
Except they're developing it at Area 51, where it's like a super soldier, and he's just wearing a body armor that's like bionic.
Now, that does actually sound like fun. I appreciate your call, sir. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? I don't know. Most of you are probably not old enough to remember Superman, the TV series. Some of you will have seen it in endless rerun. But it was something to... you know, I have some fantasy about when I was young. Superman. I remember running and taking that jump, or trying to take that jump. You know, it was a run, and then it was a jump, right, for Superman to get going. And I took that jump 1 million times. 1 million times easily, and I never went anywhere. Well, let's see. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Kathy in Oklahoma City.
Hello, Kathy. Turn your radio off.
Yep, it's off.
Okay.
I just had the headphones hooked up to it, and you could still hear it, huh?
Yep.
Okay, quickly, the fourth seal is the rider on the horse is death in Hades, and he's given power to kill a quarter of the earth with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth.
Are you saying the fourth seal is opened?
Yes, I am saying the fourth seal is opened.
You realize then you're talking about the end, end times.
Well, yes, but it'll stretch out a little.
A little more, but number four is open. That's pretty well on the way, I'd say.
Yeah, and the fifth seal is the people that are murdered by the Antichrist, see, so we're building up to that point.
Gotcha, hon. I got to run. We've got a bottom end of the hour thing to do here. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired August 31st, 2001.
Well, we're having an Area 51 caller night. Time to time, I'm going to go to that line and pick up a call that claims it's from Area 51 or some government secret worker somewhere ready to spill the beans. That special number, area code 775-727-1222. Unless that's you, don't call that number. Now, there's a big full moon out there, and so it is left up to your discernment. It may well be that 3 out of 4, 7 out of 8, even 9 out of 10 of the callers may be affected by the moon. They may not be telling the truth, but you've got to ask yourself, am I comfortable that they're all lying? Probably not. If only one of them is real, somewhere along the line here, you're going to get the real stuff. The question is, well, for you, what do you discern to be true? And now we leap back into the unknown. And to our government line, Area 51 type line, whatever it in world it is, you're on the air. Hello there.
Good morning, Art, John. Also, I'm in San Antonio.
John in San Antonio. All right.
How are you?
Fine, John.
I have been to Area 51. I've been to S4, Tulichapa Peak, Tonopah many times as part of my duties in the government, and have to frankly say, Art, I've never seen an alien. I've seen lots of interesting things, but
well, like what?
Well, you know, interesting aircraft, interesting test developmental aircraft.
How interesting?
Well, nothing that I would consider extraterrestrial, but certainly things that have increased the coffers of our friends at Lockheed Martin. And
now we've had already two people who have called and talked about a door.
Yes, I've heard about that.
A portal. A portal door, yes.
No, I'm sorry, Art.
You're not.
I've never seen that there.
You can't confirm that.
No,
I will also say that the...
Well, what kind of work were you doing?
Well, I've actually spoken to you in the past through several years now.
I repeat, what kind of work were you doing?
I'm an RF and engineer. RF engineer.
Okay.
And have done a lot of work regarding some of the radar systems, both there and at some of the other sites there.
All right, there might not have been reason for you to have clearance to see more than what you were working on.
Possible. I would tend to agree, but I think I've seen most of the things there. Also, I have to tell you, Art, you're quite popular out there. The camo dudes really enjoy listening to you at night.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sure they listen out at
Area 51. In fact, for one moment, I can tell you a little funny story. I was at Indian Springs a couple of years back where the Predators are at.
That's close, yes.
And we were flying a Predator around, and we actually did fly it over towards where you live. And we were looking for your house, but we didn't find it.
Oh, well, I'll tell you something, sir. A lot of your colleagues have. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Take care. Yeah, look, I know. You should see... You should hear the things that fly over my home. I know damn well they listen to me up there. You know, Area 51, as you know, is just adjacent to where I am. And there are several really, really strong 50,000-watt signals that just bear down on Area 51. So at this time of night, this show is heard almost exclusively up there. I mean, you can pick up other things, but we would be by far the strongest thing, and I've been told by many, many, many that the workers there listen to this program. No surprise there. None at all. I'm still curious about that door. That's been the most interesting thing to come out of the night so far, that portal door. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
This is Doug calling from Santa Barbara, California, USA, Northern Hemisphere.
Hi, Doug.
AM 990, KTMS.
Yes, yes sir.
This is a great opportunity to call you on this because you're talking about Area 51.
That's right.
I want to know if you remember a show maybe 2 or 3 years ago that you had, and I taped it. I don't know where the tape is right now, but it was about a man. He was a pilot, a private pilot.
That flew into Area 51. Yes, of course.
Yes. What happened to him? The air went dead?
As far as I know, he's dead.
He was chased by 2 aircraft.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and more than that, sir, he was shot down.
He was?
Yeah, he was shot down.
That was incredible.
It was incredible, and, you know, it's like everything else. You have to use discernment, but, boy, it sure sounded absolutely real to me.
Yeah, because you didn't mention anything after the silence, and I thought,
the only follow-on to that was his girlfriend contacted me, and she was headed herself up to Area 51. She's never been heard from since either. So
wow.
That's it.
That's really something.
Yep.
And that guy that was just on a little while ago, that disguised voice.
Yes.
He had a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Art.
Thank you, and take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
This is Keith from Hamilton, Ontario.
Hi, Keith.
I'm wondering if there are any link or possibility of these proven crop circles to the actions of man afterwards. I mean, since you've received that, what about the face, I believe, in the crop circle?
Yes.
The West Nile virus, that's back in Ontario big time. We've had about 10, I think, dead blue jays and mosquitoes.
I know.
Crows.
It's headed our way, I'm afraid.
Yeah. The Salty's killing his family members, this Beck guy today, 41 deaths in Tokyo. Maybe that's like a little link or something like that. Maybe this crop circles is affecting man.
You know, that wouldn't be my first guess. My first guess would be that the crop circles are trying, obviously, now to tell us something very loudly, but I'm not so sure that the crop circles I would assign as affecting what's going on, more like a reflection of what's going on. I, in other words, I don't think they're a causative factor.
Mm-hmm. That's just something I put together. Also, too, I noted a little while back, you said you could feel something happening. And you being the writer of The Quickening, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
Okay, I'll give you my answer to that. I don't know. In terms of what is going to happen, I don't know. But I have never quite felt a period of time like that which I feel right now since I wrote that book. I documented what I felt then and felt very strongly, and I would say now that feeling is magnified, that something large is imminent. I know that's very vague, but I'm not a prophet. All I can tell you is what I feel. Events are accelerating in every aspect of human life, and it's all actually headed somewhere. There is going to be an event, perhaps not the world-ending event that some imagine might occur, or the biblical event that others imagine might occur as the seals are cracked open one by one, but something big. Something big is getting ready to happen. Everything points to it. The behavior of humans, our economy, the behavior of animals, our weather, our environment in general. We've got the commander of the International Space Station sending what, to me, reads like a dire warning as he looks back at Earth about what's going on down here. These crop circles, fascinating stuff. Are they real? Don't know. Certainly they're not proven to be fake. In fact, quite the opposite thus far. We'll see what Levengood says, but even he's not the final authority on that. We've got people saying they could not be done on the ground. That means either A, they were done from the air with lasers of some sort, or they were done from space, but they weren't done on the ground. So either way, you got to figure you got a big story there, right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
My name is Gary. I'm calling from Seattle.
Hello, Gary.
Hi there. I want to talk to you about a little bit about space and security and UFOs tonight.
All right.
I know you barely kind of mentioned it last night. I heard your interview with Dr. Greer.
Yes.
And I think you're starting to talk to him about that new guy that's going to be the new general in charge of the Pentagon.
Yeah.
You didn't really get around to, you know, talking about it. It's about time you got cut off.
Well, as you know, yeah, you're right. That was exactly that time. As you know, Dr. Greer is very concerned about the weaponization of space, and yet the appointments would indicate that's precisely the direction we're headed.
Absolutely. The thing I'd like to bring up is, as you mentioned, this guy was formerly in charge of the Space Command, but I also heard, and I believe they're separate posts, he was also previously in charge of the Air Defense Command. Now, Stan Friedman likes to point out that's the world's largest gathering point for UFO military reports. You know, they have billions of dollars, and they have air bases and our pilots all over the world with security regulations, and that guy was in charge of that outfit, too.
Right.
And, you know, so he's going to be put in charge of that. The other thing I wanted to point out to you, in case you don't haven't heard about this, just came out of Newsweek last week. I'm a member of the old crowd in about 1975 when Reagan and Gorbachev were trying to bring down the nuclear weapons and sign treaties. I did a lot of marches back then for freezing nuclear weapons. I think we all thought that that was getting dismantled. Well, they come out now that Bush is going to sneak in the secret initiative. They call it the Recapitalization Initiative, and it's run by a general, Air Force general, a guy named Gordon, and he's used to be the number two at the CIA. Now he's in charge of this. The gist of it is they want to rebuild the nuclear weapons establishment. Now, we all got to wonder, I think, when we think we're going to do a treaty with Putin and Russia now, we're supposed to be bringing down our arsenals and needing less weapons. Why does Bush want to rebuild the nuclear weapons building establishment?
And why put weapons in space?
Exactly.
Since we are the last remaining superpower on Earth, who exactly are we going to be fighting in space?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is sinister and ominous, in my opinion. I mean, here he is rebuilding this thing. He's got $800 million stuck into the budget for next year, and they claim he wants to plan on spending $5 or $6 more billion on this, building new nuclear weapons. Where are they going?
Couldn't agree with you more, sir. Thank you very much. Probably into space. And let's all think about it a little bit. Who exactly are we fighting? I understand that we need a ballistic missile defense in America. I have no problem with that. But I think that can be achieved without putting weapons in space. And it's my view, just my view, that they're already there. And anybody who doesn't think they're already there is a damn fool. I think they're already there. And I think that if you look at the appointments and the direction the administration is going, there's going to be a lot more there. And I think it is reasonable to ask exactly who are we going to have this war with in space. What do you think? a good, effective anti-ballistic missile defense does not require what we apparently are planning to do right now and or are doing right now. On my Area 51 line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
Morning,
good evening.
You are.
Yes, indeed, and to you as well. Do you want to give us a name?
I can't do that.
Okay, nameless. Proceed.
I was one of the security detail out there.
You were in a security detail in Area 51?
Correct.
No kidding. How long ago, or is this current?
This was back in the 80s.
Okay. What can you tell us? What do you want to tell us?
Several of the things that I've seen out there are beyond explanation. We weren't allowed in the hangars. I was on perimeter detail. But you want to talk about spooky stuff?
Mm-hmm.
They tested space-based weapons on the ground at Groom Lake.
I don't doubt that for one second. Space-based stuff tested on the ground. That would make sense to me, yes.
That was the biggest thing that we were told to watch out for. We were at night patrols, we were given special goggles to protect our eyes.
Did you ever see any aircraft fly there that did not fly in a conventional manner?
Yes, I have. And it was not a very pleasant thing because I had a headache for a week when they flew one.
Were you
very, very low hum.
Were you required to sign any sort of security oath?
Yes, I was. And I can tell you one thing for certain about the security detail out there. Every one of them are military cutouts.
Yeah, no, that figures, too. You are no longer connected in any way with this kind of work?
No, I'm not.
Is this something that Americans should regard, in your opinion, as nothing to worry about because it's just usual national security stuff, or should we be worried?
Do the words "be very afraid" mean anything to you?
Says it all, sir. I appreciate the call.
Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Now, you remember when I said 1 in 10? I think that was probably one of those. That's a pretty good one. There is no way to tell. I mean, some calls, obviously, you can go up. Come on. Look at the moon. Other calls, you just can't do that. And with that call, you just can't do that. That sounded legit to me. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, yes, Art. See, I just want to comment on the fact that with regarding to the crop circle, the glyphs, I saw a blurb on CNN. It was about for only 5 seconds, and I was watching it, and it was like kind of a blurb to let us know this is what we're going to be looking at. It was on CNN News, I think just right after it happened, and I was waiting and waiting for them to start talking about it, and they didn't talk about it. No one talked about it. I wrote CNN. I emailed them. I got no response.
Well, let me tell you, sir, I was watching CNN, and I saw almost, this was regular CNN, and I saw almost a 10-minute piece they did on the 409 circle in crops that appeared over there, and they did about 10 minutes on it when it first occurred. I did see that.
Oh, really? Okay,
oh, yes,
maybe I
yes.
missed that, because I thought it was very short.
No, they actually talked to somebody on the ground there. It was a pretty extensive interview. It was in the middle of the day, but once they did that, it wasn't repeated like it usually is. It just went away.
Really?
Yes,
and they didn't,
really.
Did they speculate at all?
Well, yes. They did, you know, on how this possibly could have occurred, and they went through the whole thing about how there would not have been enough time to possibly construct something this large and complex
really?
In the overnight hours while it was raining. Oh, yeah, they went into all of that.
I'm surprised.
Yep.
Maybe it's just part of the disclosure that Richard Hoagland has been talking about.
Yeah, but for such a, you know, a large story, something they would take away 10 minutes of airtime for, even in the middle of the day, to not repeat it, I thought, a little odd. On my Area 51 government worker line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, sir.
Very good. I have a tape of, well, I guess it's on CNN. And it is a spaceship making those crop circles, and I have it on tape.
You have what, please? You have a spaceship making crop circles on tape?
Yes, on tape. Yes, I do. And then I also had a government, a U.S. military guy telling us that everything that they were talking about the spaceship not being true,
sir,
they were true.
Sir, would you send me a copy of what you have, please?
Oh, I got a whole lot of stuff like that. I'll make you up a tape. If you give me, like, a P.O. box or something, I could send it to you.
All right. You listen on the air because you've got a terrible connection, and I will surely do that. You would send it to Art Bell, P.O. Box 4755. That's P.O. Box 4755 in Pahrump. That's P as in Paul, A-H-R-U-M-P, Nevada, zip code 89048. Remember, do not send originals. Do not send anything that must be sent back. Send only copies. Trust no one. Never send originals. That's Art Bell at P.O. Box 4755, Pahrump, Nevada, 89041. I hope I gave that to you correctly before. If not, it's 89041. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I hope you don't consider this completely off topic. It's really not.
Not on open line. You can talk about anything.
Good. Thank you. I live in West Texas. I grew up out here. I'm 48. I had an experience over the fall, this past fall, that I'm been trying to find something out on the internet about, and I can't. I'm hoping you can either direct me or maybe even answer some questions. We made a trip up. Are you familiar with the Guadalupe and the Big Bend area at all?
I certainly am, yes.
Okay.
But listen, dear,
yes,
we've got a problem. I'm coming up on a newscast here at the top of the hour.
Okay.
And so the best I can do for you right now is to put you on hold and bring you back after the newscast.
That'll be fine.
All right, then.
Thank
consider
you.
It done. Stay right there. From the high desert. On a Friday night, Saturday morning, open lines, full moon night, I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and
Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
Now getting to be about the time in Europe when we know we could get calls from you and you're beginning to be awake and alive and kicking over there. So, in Europe, in Asia, wherever you are, there are two ways to get to us, toll-free. It won't cost anything to call. All you do is go to my website and find the international codes, and you dial that, and then you dial the 800 number I'm going to give you now, and it's toll-free. And or you get hold of the AT&T operator and have her dial for you. Internationally, the number is 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. More in a moment. All right. We continue now with the final hour. Now, here's the deal, folks. I've been running a four-hour show this week, and that's because of my back. Assuming that the Labor Day holiday comes and goes, and I'm okay next week, I'm going to return the show to 5 hours. So if my condition continues to improve and not get challenged by sitting for so long, we'll be back to 5 hours next week. I just thought I kind of would pass that along to you as a programming note. I've been playing it kind of careful. All right, young lady, you're back on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
First, I want to say how not only excited but grateful I am to get through to you. The question that I first want to ask you about is something that occurred, as I was saying, on a trip that we made this past fall into by way of Guadalupe and then right. into the Big Bend.
Right.
We had gone first to Guadalupe the first night and the second and the first day. And when we left Guadalupe, we took the Van Horn route down towards the Fort Davis area. And it was a route I had never taken before. In fact, I hadn't been to Van Horn since I was really small. And I've been to the Big Bend over and over repeatedly all my life, but had never been this route.
Right.
We came upon something, and quite frankly, I don't remember where it was. I don't know that I could find it again. I think I could. Kind of in a valley, as we got fairly close to the Fort Davis area, there was this, what looked kind of like, as we first came upon it, a blimp. It was close to the ground, relatively close. It looked to be maybe as much as 50 feet off the ground. There was some kind of installation around it. In other words, several buildings, although they looked relatively like portable buildings. Several vehicles, none of which we really noticed at the time because we were so drawn to this object. It seemed to be tethered somehow, it was silver. It was rather torpedo-shaped. It did look very man-made.
Was it, in fact, a blimp, or do you think not?
I quite frankly, I don't know. I mean, I have never seen a blimp close up. Any blimps that I've ever seen in the sky, I would have the impression were quite larger than this. This seemed to be about the size of a small travel trailer. Maybe a Winnebago,
oh.
relatively speaking.
Oh.
It was about, and I, like I say, I, quite frankly, my memory of it is quite strange. Let me continue just for a minute. When we first came on it, the closer we got, the more we became aware something was really strange. And we noticed the activity around, but we were more interested in trying to look at the object and see markings. I do vaguely remember that there were black markings on it, but it was like numbers and slashes, you know, not some foreign language. The oddest part about this was that as we approached it, now I was with my uncle. This is not someone I would ever have a conversation with like I'm having with you.
Right.
However, we both, within probably, oh, I don't know, probably half a mile to a mile from the little dirt road that took off to the side of the road and went to this installation where this thing was, we both just started coughing. It was like, I don't know. It was like what I would imagine, maybe sulfur in the air or something. I that's the only way I can describe it. We both just began to, it was like intense dryness in our mouth, in our throat and mouth tissues, and we both just began to cough and reach for something to drink and just, and that, quite frankly, then served as a distraction to some extent, except that there were a couple of comments made between the two of us that I thought I smelled something. I can't even describe what I thought I smelled.
Well,
he said
sulfur is unmistakable.
Well, it didn't smell. It smelled. I can say it smelled chemical. But if I were to try to come close to describing the smell,
gotcha.
It would be more like an insecticide.
So, okay, I know that smell too. So, what did you do? Turn tail?
No, we kept going. We passed it. I mean, it was, you know, on our ride as we were taking our road, and we passed it. In fact, he slowed down probably at least 20 miles an hour as we got closer, and then when we started coughing, he We neither one of us remember this the same. I remember him floorboarding the car. He does not remember it that way. He just remembers trying to soothe me and convince me there was no connection in the coughing and what we were seeing and not to try to worry about what we'd seen. So this has puzzled me to no end. Now, there, it puzzles me, like I say, I could never talk to him about why it puzzled me so much. But it is a smell that I've smelled before, and both logically, because I know the smell of insecticide, but like I say, that's the closest I can come to describing it.
All right, and this vehicle or this blimp-like thing was,
right.
was, you could see tethers holding it.
It was, what my memory is one tether.
One tether.
It was as if it were a fairly thick contraption that attached onto the bottom.
Nope, that's a pretty weird experience, huh?
Yes, sir, it was, absolutely. And I have looked up things on the Internet trying to find about what kind of things the DEA is using. It looked like it couldn't be something manned.
I've got you. Well, maybe the DEA, in fact, is using unmanned blimp-like craft to look at border areas right now. I know they're doing that. But I don't know about the smell and the rest of it. On the international line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
Yes, I'm calling from Taipei, Taiwan.
Oh, Taipei. All right. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for, bringing your program over here.
Yes, sir.
We enjoy it.
Well, so what's going on in Taipei?
Right now, rain.
All right.
The increased animal attacks.
Yes.
As much as I agree that animals are more in tuned with what's going on than we are sometimes, I'm wondering if some of these shark attacks and bears, if it might be due to, our federal protection of these animals.
They're
fishing,
Yes, sir, you can imagine it's due to federal protection. You can imagine that it's due to our encroaching on habitat. I guess you can imagine a lot of things, but it's across the board, from sea creatures to land creatures. Something really odd is beginning to go on all of a sudden. And, I'm sure there are cycles of this, but for us to be having such an immediate, incredible increase like this, to me, says that something is about to happen.
Well, with what's gone on in England and Cherbolton, everyone I've talked to and have shown the pictures to has said... We couldn't have done. No one with boards and chains could have done that.
I quite agree. So you are spreading the news for us in Taipei, then?
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate the call.
Okay.
You take care. All right, from Taipei, Taiwan. That's neat. You can call toll free. It's completely free. Tell you again how to do it wherever you are in the world. You can go to our website. Let me see here if I can get us to the website. Yes. Go down to, you go to artbell.com, see if I can follow it. You go down to Interact on the left-hand side, just hold your cursor over Interact, and then go to call-in phone numbers. And you will find a list of country codes, USA AT&T access codes. You dial that number, whatever number is for your country, then you dial the 800 number. You dial 800 893-0903. That's 800-893-0903, and it will be toll-free from wherever in the world you are to us. On my Area 51 line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yes, Art. I was calling. I have some information on with Area 51.
What do you know about Area 51?
Well, what I know is what I was able to get from secondhand information we had a member of our family at work there, and he had recently died. He'd lived into his 70s, and he'd worked there apparently for about 7 years. And we thought that he was working at Boeing in Seattle. And so my aunt had come into contact with some notes. They were kind of like in diary form. And basically, what we could figure was he was into like some space-based weapon technology, SDI stuff.
Yes, sir.
Because in it, he had mentioned stuff about when Reagan was negotiating the SALT treaties and things like that.
Yes.
And when this was going on, basically his whole thing was that this isn't something, like when you see like the government trying to cover it up and or trying to explain things away. It's not so much that they're trying to keep information from the people to try to deceive them, but they're trying to keep information away from the people because they fear a God complex would envelop and basically break down nations, not so much panic in the streets. And they basically didn't think that the aliens were all too nice. And they pretty much feared them. And SDI and basically similar stuff that the Russians were developing weren't being developed to basically protect us from one another. But
what,
the arms race was basically being developed to protect us from them.
What made your family member, even at that late age, decide to suddenly speak?
Well, because he was dying. He had cancer. And I think, when that kind of happens, maybe he had just felt that maybe he had received this from the base. But one of the things he did was in a note in this diary form that he left was basically like a warning. And his warning came out to basically saying that when you start seeing information being disclosed and basically governments coming out and saying that, yes, this exists, they exist, and
yes,
this is, and disclosure stopped happening, in
yes,
essence, that yes, basically we're being sold out at that point.
Sold out.
And, yeah, as a, as a world or as a country, because he didn't trust them, apparently, because he said that the SDI stuff was being developed for reasons of protecting ourselves from them. And basically the arms race was basically an arms race to gain technology and to back engineer the best we could, or basically just get technology between us and the Russians. The Russians were also doing the same thing.
Okay, well, here's something that puzzles me.
Yeah, sure.
SDI then could be certainly justified in terms of the U.S.-Soviet contest that was going on.
I mean, that
certainly justified it, at least in the minds of some. And there was a good legitimate argument to be had that we had to be there if they were going to be there, and everybody was going to be doing it. We had no choice. But now we're beginning anew, it would seem, with SDI. And we're
right,
the last remaining superpower. So who exactly do we plan on fighting?
Well, that's why I brought that up, because I think that a lot of that stuff is being geared towards basically protecting our planet. Plus, if you take a look, too, if we have SDI up there, that's all well and good. Say we can protect part of the Western Hemisphere. But then you also have to ask yourself, well, gee, who else has been getting some of this technology? China has. And if China has some of this technology now with through so-called spying, if that was really what occurred, then, they obviously, you have to protect all parts of the planet, not just one.
Do you still have any of the written notes from this family member?
No, my aunt would have that stuff. I never had that stuff. I doubt it. We told her that, that kind of stuff you shouldn't be, going around, saying. And she hadn't. It was basically just, like, kind of a note to her, saying this, basically if this stuff starts getting out, then it's kind of a situation where we're being sold out. So, like, when I see things like the crop circle stuff that you guys have had on.
Right.
Because I've just been interested in this stuff for the last 6 months, and I started listening to your show. I found out about it. Because when I got some of this information, I went on the web, and I tried to see, what about this? And then your site had come up as, like, a contact stuff for this.
Right.
And what was being said was that, that, like, I was looking on the website for the crop circles, and the SETI stuff, if you look right now, SETI's already putting out an article debunking it.
I'm very, very much aware of that. I interviewed, as you know, I interviewed Seth Shostak from SETI the other
night.
Well, listen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, and that's that I'll take that to heart.
I just, you know, but I also wanted to know, Art, before you come up, is have you ever had guests or other people that have said that same thing? I know everybody tries to focus on trying to, like, find out what the government's keeping from us.
No.
But the actual reason being that maybe it's being done for a good reason.
Never quite what you said, sir. I appreciate it. That's almost like Eisenhower's warning. So never quite what you said. Thank you. On the international line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
Calling from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Very good. Welcome to the program, sir. What's going on over there?
Well, actually, I called initially about the animal attacks, but the gentleman who was just speaking hit a few other things. I just, if you've got a minute, I'd like to talk about as well.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
One was about the dissemination of advanced technology to places like Russia and China. In many dimensions of technology, they really don't have to do espionage to get it, because the U.S. Congress has been very naive about making a distinction between so-called civilian as opposed to military technology.
That's
a lot of civilian technology has military applications.
Yeah,
they've been
pretty
foolish about that.
No, you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, there are video games that contain processors that are so dangerous. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I just want to... And about about SDI... Another thing to consider, instead of thinking about who are we going to be fighting against, is the survival of agendas within organizations over time. You know, bureaucracies have, you know, people who persist, and even when they leave, they still manage to pass on what are their primary interests. It gets taken up by organizations.
That's right.
So over a very long period of time, over a number of administrations, being politicians come and go. But even during, you know, although this started under Reagan, even during the Clinton administration, there were people there who were still maintaining at least funding at least a minimal level and so-called research for this. So,
all right, we don't have a lot of time left. So
okay, the animal attacks.
Yes, sir.
Have you been getting reports about animal attacks not just on people but on domesticated animals?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you know, there was one here in the news the other week. A snake ate a dog.
A snake ate a dog in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
A snake
ate a... A number of years ago, we had a snake eat a calf. This time, a snake ate a dog.
That's incredible. I mean, I've of course, like everybody else, I've seen pictures of snakes eating mice, and there's a big lump there. It's hard to imagine anything as large as a dog could be ingested.
Well, I didn't see the pictures about the dog, but years ago, I saw in the newspaper the calf being regurgitated. The snake just couldn't digest it, but it did take it in whole and then couldn't digest it and regurgitated it.
So it tossed the calf.
The dog is a lot smaller than a calf, I think.
You don't know offhand whether it managed to digest the doggy.
No, I don't know about that. I know it couldn't digest the calf. I didn't hear anything about the dog being regurgitated. I assume it digested the dog.
Pretty weird stuff, sir. I appreciate the call all the way from Hong Kong.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
That is weird. Eat a dog in Hong Kong? I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 31st, 2001.
Reminding my international callers, just go to my website, get the code number for your country, or get the AT&T operator. It's toll-free from anywhere in the world to call us at 800-893-0903. Oh, yeah, one more thing. The first-time caller line is restricted away for people with knowledge of Area 51 or government workers wanting to spill the beans at area code 775-727-1222. So if you fit into that category, that's the number for you. Hear me well. Next Friday night, Saturday morning, another open line night, we are going to do ghost to ghost. It's been quite a while, hasn't it? I've had a million requests, so next Friday night, Saturday morning, we'll do a ghost to ghost. And Keith, if you're listening, you might as well go ahead and mark that down on the website. Between now and then, we're going to kind of have a contest. And I want the best ghost photographs that are out there. If you have a ghost photograph that you've been sitting on for a while, I want you to send it to either me, I'm Art Bell at Mindspring.com, that's my email address, Art Bell at Mindspring.com, or to my webmaster, that would be webmaster at Artbell.com. Send it to one of the two of us between now and next Friday night, Saturday morning, because we are going to be refreshing our ghost photograph collection. That's next Friday night, Saturday morning, a long-awaited ghost-to-ghost. I know many of you have been awaiting this. We want photographs to go with it. So if you have one, get it to me, Art Bell at Mindspring.com. That's A-R-T-B-E-L-L at Mindspring.com. Or my webmaster, that's webmaster at Artbell.com. The best of the ghost photographs, that's what we're after. On my Area 51 line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
It's an honor to speak to you there. I listen to you quite a bit.
And to you as well, sir. Where are you?
I'm in my truck right now.
Oops.
I just pulled over for the night.
All right.
I can tell you my first name is Scott, and I'm about 24 years old.
Okay, Scott.
I didn't actually work in Area 51, but I did work in the United States Navy.
All right.
On an aircraft carrier. And I'll just get to the point. I was out cleaning in Midway one time. And we were cleaning up when we pulled off for medical cleanup, and we found a chip that we never saw before. And when we brought it back to our aircraft carrier, I was in supply division, and supplies in charge of anything going in and off the ship.
Yes, sir.
At any time.
Yes, sir.
And we got that chip, we gave it to our CO, and within 5 hours, I never saw more brass at one time since boot camp, since I graduated.
Where exactly did you find this chip?
Right off of Midway, when we were cleaning up the Midway.
Yes.
We were cleaning up around there. We had a medical throw over by accident, and we had to clean it up on shore.
Uh-huh.
And we found this chip, just like little 6x6 chip. And next thing we know, we have some divers coming in on our ship, and we had a bunch of brass, and this is the first time we ever locked our hangar bay doors on the aircraft carrier.
Really?
And they had 8 of us in the supply to help, we loaded up out of this water these 3 big control panels.
You guys brought something up out of the water?
Yeah, we brought 3 control panels out of the water. I remember this clear as day. I was 18 years old, just been in the military maybe 7 months.
Scott, is there much you can remember about them?
Well, I remember it's that hard plastic porous. That covered, if you know what I'm talking about, it's hard plastic and it's like has the little tiny holes in it.
Okay.
I don't even know how to explain it.
All right, Scott, let me ask you this. Obviously, if you were in the military, you'd be familiar enough with, say, a control panel from, a downed aircraft or even another ship to know.
Oh, yeah.
To know
there's
if it,
no way.
Not,
there's
not,
no way.
Not one of ours?
No, because I work supply division. I saw this type of stuff all the time coming in and off the ship.
Yes.
If it went off the ship or came on the ship, I saw it.
Yes, sir.
And because it had series of numbers going across it, regular numerical numbers, and it would have like it had 1 through 9s, and then some of the little panels like where you would push like a keyboard,
yes,
it would have a 1-1 or a 1-2 and a 2-2. And the third control panel looked almost like an advanced radar system. Like I never saw it. It was clear, but you could see to where it would be a radar system. And the third control panel was some sort of charting system. And the wiring behind it was pretty similar to what we would normally see, but the harness hookups is nothing like we would see even in the F-14s or the F-16 hookups. And I handed a bunch of those out because those things are always going out on an aircraft carrier.
So they pulled these things aboard and stowed them, I take it?
Yeah. When they had the scuba people go down, the scuba divers go down and pull this up, they closed off the hangar bay doors and gave us a dog-locked Zebra, which means all doors are shut. And there was only 8 of us allowed on this hangar bay area at one time, and then they had 20 brass with us. And we were in total security area, and they told us at any time, if they ever heard that we said anything else to the rest of the ship, that we'd be put in pretty much prison.
Why do you feel free to speak about it now?
Well, I've been out of the military for a very long time, and I've gotten in touch with a couple other people that was with me that I became close with at that time after this situation. We've talked about it freely with our family and stuff.
What do you think you brought aboard?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that it definitely was something not made on this earth. And if it was way more technical than I've ever saw in my life. And I've saw enough of these control panels and circuits coming on and off the ship that there ain't no way it could have been any type of
Do you have any idea what would have happened to it or where it was taken?
The only thing we knew was when we were on Midway that we heard from the people that are stationed on there that they said about 4 to 5 days prior to us showing up that there was a big splashdown, meaning something did go down in the water. They didn't know exactly what it was.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if they didn't investigate it anymore, if they didn't have any idea.
Then you obviously they had some idea that they were looking for something they had a report on.
Yes, that's all I know. But I know when they pulled them up, it was covered up very quickly.
So then you very well could have been part of a crash retrieval project.
Yeah, because they kept it very, very hush-hush. We were unable to talk to anybody on the ship. We had to go through a questioning seminar of what we saw, what we understood of it, what we thought we saw, what it could have been. And pretty much we all got together and agreed just a lie so we wouldn't get in trouble in the military because we were all 18, 19 years old. We were scared out of our mind because they were telling us that they were going to throw us in the brig, so we decided to lie about it and say we had no idea what it was. But we knew it was something that wasn't meant for a military ship or a military aircraft.
My. I would ask, if you are in the mood to do so, to contact me privately.
Okay.
Can you do that? It's artbell@mindspring.com or artbell@aol.com. It doesn't matter. Either address will work. Provide me with a way to get hold of you.
You said Mindspring?
Mindspring, MindSpring, artbell@mindspring.com.
All right?
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, and we'll proceed from there. Now you see why I do these kinds of nights. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Is that me?
That's you.
Great. Okay. Two things. First
yes.
part... Very interesting. A couple of weeks ago in Colorado, a Boy Scout camp got hit by a bear. Well, everybody went crazy and went out and caught the bear that night.
I think I heard about that, yes.
Yeah, it attacked some campers in a tent. Next night, this is the interesting part, is that the bear returned.
Mm-hmm.
Or another bear.
You know what?
It's the same exact tent.
Yes, ma'am. I heard that. Indeed, I've heard about that. And a lot of other things like it. It's going on all over the world right now.
Yeah. It's awesome. I just couldn't believe when I tuned into you and found out what you're doing. I commend you, but I fear for you, too.
Well, that's all right. I appreciate your fear for me, but I'll try and hold it together here. I'm getting these reports from all over the world. Animals are behaving in a very odd, strange, inexplicable manner all over the world right now, and it probably means something. I don't know what. I'm not a fortune teller. I don't even remote view. I just know that when I begin to get this many reports of odd behavior, something's going on. Simple as that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, I'm vertically challenged in Austin, Texas.
Vertically challenged?
Yeah, I'm on a heating pad. anyway,
understand.
You can identify with
that,
right?
Oh, boy, can I ever.
Yeah, so my voice is kind of low, but I'm reclining right now, so you'll have to excuse me. I just wanted to let you know I'm very intimidated right now, and my palms are sweating, but I just felt like I had to call you.
Then you have to call more frequently, and that will disappear.
Okay. I have some pretty sincere questions and comments regarding oddities that I've experienced in West Texas.
Sure.
I kind of find it interesting that the last female caller that you had called regarding the drug blimp or so-called drug blimp.
Well, that was just a guess.
Yeah, I have pictures of it. So right when you put me on hold, I heard her talking about it, and I can send you some pictures of it.
What I don't understand, I'd love that. What
okay.
I don't understand is the... this smell that made them sick.
I don't know either. I've driven by it several times, and I've taken pictures of it.
Oh, by all means, send me off one.
All right, cool. But basically, I live in Austin, but I've taken several trips out to West Texas with a friend.
Right.
And this particular person has taught me how to communicate with UFOs through a variety of flashing lights that we aim at the UFOs. And they respond within, like, 6 to 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, that's what the Greer Organization does.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I
wasn't aware of that.
Yes, yes. Flashing lights.
I'm just like, getting turned on to all this stuff. Basically, we had a pretty major encounter, and I was personally with my friend. Every time, he's been basically communicating for about 15 years now, since he was 10 years old, with UFOs. And his ear bleeds every time he communicates with them or every time he's in a proximity to them.
You've actually personally seen that happen?
Yeah, I have. And I have personally communicated with them. They have come towards us. They have bounced across the sky. He's got a whole communication thing set up. And, you know, I don't really want to divulge what flashes mean what, but, you know, I've talked to NIDS about this and, you know, given them information on this and made, you know, official reports with them.
And how did they react?
They took me very seriously, and they were very eager to get sketches and whatnot of my experiences.
Yep, that's NIDS.
Yeah, and they were really professional, and I want to, like, you know, tell any of the listeners out there that these people are very professional, and I really respect them.
They absolutely are.
Yeah,
they're doing the most serious work in this area now being done.
Yeah, and it was just, I was just very surprised. It was the first professional organization that I had contacted. I was very nervous. And they called me back and talked to me and recorded my conversation for like 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. But I wanted to go into detail a little bit further about my friend with his ear bleeds. He's been communicating for 15 years with these UFOs. They come, they're summoned, you know, they'll come to us. He's been abducted many times, and now he's got something growing in his skull. And I went to Dr. Lear's website that I got from your website, and it mentioned in there about black spots on x-rays.
Yes.
They could possibly be implants. Well, these problems have all been caused since his abductions, and he does indeed have a black spot on his x-rays and his MRIs. I've tried to contact Dr. Lear, but I haven't, like,
conventional interpretation that it's something like, you know, some normal medical...
The doctor said they don't know what it is. quote unquote. We do not know what it is.
And it's growing in his skull.
Yeah, it's growing between his on his the back of his medulla oblongata between his skull and his brain. It's not in his brain. It's like at the base of his skull.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and so I've been writing emails all over the place. I did get a hold of one doctor that I'm not going to say his name, but he took my email very serious. He did say that he was willing to look at the specimen after we removed it. The only problem is my friend's got to have this surgery pretty soon, you know, and it's not really life-threatening at this point, but there is, we do believe there's like an abscess or something growing around it, so there
right.
is pressure on his brain.
All right. I would also appreciate, if you've got that much documentation, I would appreciate your communicating with me privately. Can you
okay.
do that?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. You got
yeah.
the address?
No, I've got it. Actually, I've tried to write you a couple times this last week regarding this issue.
All right. Well, I might have missed it.
Okay. My name is Bon, and it's Super Bon. We're
okay.
getting a letter from Super Bon. And I will enclose some pictures of that drug blimp for you, too.
All right. I'll look for it.
All right. Cool.
Thank you, and take care. We'll get that one up. Oh, my. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Yeah, Richard here from Paso Robles.
Yes, sir.
I've been listening to you on the way home from work every night for quite a while. Really intrigued with the crop circle.
Yes, sir.
And
who could not be? I mean, no matter what you think of it, it's so controversial, so compelling.
Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking is I have this theory that I've come up with, kind of a fun theory, of, you know, since it becomes so intricate, the chains and boards are out, and the overnight thing is really, how are they doing it overnight? And the only thing I can think of, thinking out of the box, is some kind of maybe a large rubber stamp type thing that's picked up by a helicopter and hovered over the field.
Oh.
Just kind of lightly dropped on the crops. Maybe a little steam injected to soften up the heat. And just kind
wouldn't
of
that be...
wouldn't that be something?
It would be something, but it would be also a little obvious. I mean, I can picture this helicopter... carrying this thing that
would be huge.
I mean, it would have to be really huge.
Yeah.
You're right, but I mean, that's sort of a way to think about it, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, you know how they, when they say think outside the box, I'm going, well, let's see.
Yeah, you're way outside the box.
How
that,
could they
cool.
be doing this? Anyway, just thought a little fun might be.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, Art.
Take care. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, guess who? Professor here.
Who?
Professor, long time no talk to.
Good to hear you.
Hey, good to talk to you, buddy. I hope your back gets to feeling better. Me and you have very, very similar situations in our back.
Yeah,
had a car wreck, compressed my vertebrates, lost about a half inch in my height when I was 19, and I'm in misery every day. But, you know, life goes on, and I'm happy to be here.
Life goes on.
Hey, listen, Art, I had enjoyed the pleasure of having a national radio show on a little network the past year and a half, and it was a lot of fun. And I met a lot of people and had a lot of very interesting guests on. One of the people that I had on frequently was a guy that worked in a C-SETI program, and he was one of the people that actually met creatures or beings, rather. You know, some of them weren't like anything we'd ever seen before, in the field. He actually got up close.
I would love to interview him.
Well, he's a very knowledgeable guy. But Art, the weird thing is he was a Christian, and they had witches that were doing what is called a canon, a prayer canon, and they were trying to, this is what they said, now understand, he was a brand new Christian and didn't understand, and now he's got it all put together. They were trying to decrease his protective bubble. That's what they called it. They called it a shell or a bubble, and they were trying to reduce it from being 2.5 miles in a protective barrier down to just a few yards so the aliens could get right up close to him. And he found out that they were really demons, and he blew the whistle on the whole thing, and it was out of a University of West Virginia at Charleston, I think. It was a joint NASA project, joint SETI project, and he's got all the paperwork on it and everything. It's amazing. He's got videos about it, and it would just really be a big kick in the butt to Stephen Greer to hear this guy on your show, I'm telling you.
Well,
Would you like me to get him in touch with you?
Yes, I would. I would, yes.
Okay, great. Art, you know, you put on a lot of good people over the years, and you do kind of present both sides, and I appreciate, you know, you don't have to be fair, and you don't have to let your paradigm, you know, budge any, but yet you do, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. And all of you. Listen, again, I want to say next week, Friday night, Saturday morning, is going to be a ghost-to-ghost, pass the word, get your ghost stories ready. Most of all, get your ghost photographs ready and get them to me. In the meantime, I wish you all a wonderful barbecuing kind of weekend this weekend. Until Tuesday, I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. Ta-ta.